running with him on top. Look, Mercurial Lad brings the class. He gets a kilo and off, a half off for Paddy. Got the wide gate, which is not ideal for him first up. But he, as I mentioned, he's got plenty of class when he's right. So I had to have him as the main danger. Look, 5, Rinviata, it's got to go in. I just don't think it handled Narendra whatsoever. I think it was a little bit too firm for it prior. It went on the heavy here, and indeed 2 for 2 on down here at Maruya. I think it's going to run a nice race again here. Just can get a few favours in the run. And obviously 6, Rock On Zuri. She was good here in that Maruya Cup last time beyond Butteroo Knight, and gets here second up. She's a pretty nice mare when she's right. But Cliff is due to get a bit go his way. 9156, Simon.
9156, and wrapping up the last race 7, the class 3 over 1020. Scratchings at 2 Halliday Road, 3 Northern River, and 8 Claridale Lass. And 1 Smooth Tycoon is at 2:30. 7 Malachi Crunch, 3.90. 9 Mirastika, $8. And 5 Lord Boulevard, John, at 9.
Simon, I think this is the best Quinella of the day by a fair distance. 7, 1, 9, and 10 for me. I'm going to give it to Malachi. He just loved it here. His last run was really good beyond. Leave Me Astray was too good for him. Eve's Miss and the like. A pretty handy horse. And the run prior beyond Aaron Disson, he was back deep and he finished off. He does it every time here at the 1,000. He's missed a place once here at the 1,000 metres. And look, I think he had a fair few excuses that day as well. So he's drawn to get the favours, and again the claim, he's going to be back and strong. Look, Smooth Tycoon, this hasn't had too much go its way its last three runs. It was formerly with Bjorn Baker, and now with Joey Ibel, got a nice little boutique yard at Canberra now. It was in when you needed to be down the outside at Kembla. It struck a heavy at Canterbury, and it was off the track the whole way at Gosford its last three starts. Prior to that, ran second at Muswellbrook. It's going to run well whatever way you shape it up. It's certainly the main danger, but the market has definitely found it. Then you've got Mirastika. You got to put the line through its most recent run. Tried it at the 1,200, and he just couldn't hold it, the young fella there. End up three deep with no cover, but back to the 1,000 is probably going to suit it down to the ground. And 10 Denman quality, I wouldn't be so shocked if this improves a little bit today. It's had three runs this preparation and brings a ton of speed to the table here. Mate, it's 7, 1, 9, 10. I think they'll run 1, 2, the 7 and 1.
Right? 7, 1, 9, and 10 there. And the best was in race 3, John?
Yeah, look, race 3, I think it's high potential today. I think she finds the right race. Back to a country maiden. A few of these have been going okay, but I just like from where she's drawn, the way she likes the race. I think the bigger field, you get a truly run race, that should suit her down to the ground, and I think today's her day, D-Day, or I don't know when it's going to happen. So 10, race 3, number 10, best bet of the day, high potential for me, Simon, but D. Clippy in race 6 will be hard to beat, mate.
Good on you, John. Thanks very much for your help. We'll catch you soon.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Simon.
John's course there. It's 27 to 11.
Menangle Tips, every Saturday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Andrew Bensley steps into Pacing Rewind for this Sunday morning. Bens, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, Simon. After a really terrific Saturday, it was unbelievable yesterday at Randwick. And last night, Simon, I must admit, I jumped on a plane from Sydney and got to Bendigo last night. I've got a couple of interests in horses that contested in the Breeders' Crown, and we're very fortunate that they've made the final. So it was a busy one, and I'm looking forward just for a little sleep this afternoon somewhere.
Yeah, I'll bet. And to top it off, your Magpies won as well. Hey,
yes.
Won well.
Yeah, you've got to remember days like yesterday, Simon.
So who was the ones you had interest in last night?
Yeah, Centenario and Hard Hitter. They've been fortunate to make the two-year-old Colts and Geldings final last night. They ran well in the semis, and yeah, no, it was a terrific night, and I think my story's been well documented it's a group of mates that we bought Yankee Rockstar a number of years ago, Simon, and we've been buying one or two every year, and we're just in a fortunate place that we've got them with Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin, and we have real good times with them.
You've got a great strike rate with the horses you get into, Andrew.
Yeah, no, mate, and I will stress it's got nothing to do with me, Simon. Barb just paying the money.
Yeah,
we've got some good people that select horses at the sales as yearlings, and there's been times where our horses haven't lived up to the wishes that we've got, but certainly we've enjoyed the ride.
Righto, now Victorian harness caller Dan Malecki joins us on the line now. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Dan. Good to talk to you. I know you weren't there last night, but you would have been all over watching them on Sky Racing 1. And, gee, these Breeders' Crown Finals next Saturday night, they'll be unbelievable at Melton, given some of these barrier draws.
Oh, absolutely, Andrew. It was very exciting. The top-quality horses that were going last night, and some of the races were just fantastic. So, you know, you get certain years or vintages where there might be just one horse that will dominate. You'll get a short-price favourite. Other years where you'll get, you know, 10 top-class horses of that particular level. And it looks like we're going to have some classics next week. There were just so many fantastic performances last night.
There were. I want to start with the three-year-old Colts and Geldings. Ignatius is down there for James Rattray. Ended up running second, sat in the death. Poster Boy sat back and came around and grabbed Ignatius on the line. And I must admit, being trackside, Dan, and watching it, I just thought Ignatius may have been finishing fourth or fifth there. He was really put under pressure by the leader in that race, Maratai.
Well, that was, what a performance that was. There were a number of top runs in that race, but Ignatius, I think coming into this series, was touted as being the best three-year-old in Australia, and he was certainly building up that record, and he did nothing to say he wasn't last night. That was a phenomenal performance. And in the end, Poster Boy, who's a big-time performer, has been able to just nab him. But the work that he had to do, Ignatius, and they've powered home in a 154.2. They've broken the record, the track record. It was a stunning performance. He just needs a... he just needs even luck. In fact, he only needs about, a little bit of bad luck, and you think you'll still be winning. But that, to be fair, the opposition he's up against is some fantastic horses. That was an excellent race, wasn't it?
It was. It's interesting with the draw. Colt 31 has made the final. It's drawn the inside. Major Times has drawn 5. Maratai, who led them up last night, has drawn the outside gate 7. Then you get the favourites, Poster Boy, Ignatius, all on that back row. Ignatius at the moment, $3.20 with Tab to win the final. Colt 31 at $4.50, Conan at $4.50, along with Poster Boy and Ride High at $4.50. Do you think Ignatius can win from that second row draw with Poster Boy around him?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. Mind you, you wouldn't... If you followed Poster Boy or any of those other good horses, you can still stick to them, particularly those that have had better draws. Colt 31 didn't really have much luck last night either. I thought his run was pretty good under the circumstances, so a much better barrier draw for him is certainly a positive. But I don't think anyone would say that Ignatius isn't the horse to beat.
Yeah, for sure. What about the three-year-old fillies? Speak No Evil, obviously dominating again last night for Emma Stewart and Chris Elford.
Yeah, look, what a wonderful record this filly has brought up. And had the barrier draw to dominate, but really up the tempo. You could notice it down the back straight. Look, again, Emma and Clayton, their ability to have their horses peak at the right time is just phenomenal. I know they get plenty of credit, but they've got a lot of good horses in their stable, and you see it time and time again, particularly when they take Menangle for the big races. Mm. And when these series, your Vic Preds and your Breeders' Crown comes up, their horses peak, and Speak No Evil has had to do it a number of times. And she's just outstanding. She was a dominant favourite. I think she was $1.10 last night, but she's mile rated 155.2, and she's the sort of filly that I think she likes a bit of a challenge. Sometimes having another horse around her makes her lift, rather than just bowl along and do it easily and sprint home. She's not really that type of horse, but Emma won 6 races last night, Andrew. When you consider the prestige of this series and to have 6 winners in semi-finals, it's just amazing.
It is. I caught up last night at Bendigo with Mark Purden. He's got the 2-year-old filly favourite, Our Princess Tiffany, who's a raging favourite. He's got another one in the 2-year-old boys final as well, but she looks pretty special given the way. I mean, I know that they went 32.5 and 31.6 for those first couple of quarters, Dan, but she looked pretty good running home 27.2 last night. She looks a dominant favourite in the 2-year-old filly's final.
Yeah, unbeaten. And my word, when it pushed come to shove, I really was impressed with her last 200 metres in particular. Again, another filly that looks like a bit of a challenge, and she got going and really dug in. And I think the run will do the world of good. We often see it with the Kiwi horses. They can sometimes improve off their first up run. They come over travelling, particularly if it's their first up run in Australia. They haven't travelled before, being young horses. And Mark Purden, well, you just get to expect that he's going to have outstanding horses that are going to compete in the series. And our Princess Tiffany was dominant, and you would think that she would be next week as well.
Yeah, what about the other winner of those fillies, semis, Miss Streisand, over from New Zealand, driven by Chris Geary for Ray Roots Jr. Again, some slick times, the concluding stages. It's still regarded a $13 chance, but I mean, I guess the summary is they're going to be pretty hard to beat. Maybe that other semi was the dominant semi last night.
I would think so. Look, our Princess Tiffany rated 159.1, which is, you know, hardly over the top. It was a 28.4 and then a 27.2 coming home. So they were pedestrian early, but it was similar with Miss Streisand, even though her mile rate was a little bit better. But she was able to get to the front from Tango with Sierra, who led early, and it was just too good for them. Two times better was good, but had that awkward draw. And in the end, that wasn't beaten all that fast. The barrier draws for those fillies, I think, really become important for that, you know, who you're going to put in your Quinella and Trifecta, for example. But I would have thought Kualoa in defeat, running second to our Princess Tiffany, would be the biggest threat, because Kualoa galloped a couple of times in the run, didn't look comfortable at all. So I would think that even though Bendigo is the same size track as Melton, you just get the feeling that Melton's got those more sweeping turns.
Yep.
So that track is going to suit Kualoa a lot more, and I would think it's the biggest threat rather than the fillies that would come out of the second semi-final.
Yeah, Kualoa's drawn gate four in that two-year-old pacing final for the fillies, and the favourite, our Princess Tiffany's, drawn front row gate six. So that's the few of the main ones there. Now, I mentioned the two-year-old Colts and Geldings off the top there with Simon, with the interest I've got in Centenario and Hard Hitter. Centenario just did enough there, did it comfortably, got to the lead. Mark Purden's horse, I'm Another Masterpiece, wasn't pushed around either, into second spot, and Four Big Men got third in that race. The other two-year-old Colts and Geldings final, it went to Hurricane Harley for Emma Stewart and Mark Pitt. Short price favourite, ran slick time. I guess the barrier draw plays a role here in what the market's done, Dan, with Centenario drawing gate four, and we've got Hurricane Harley in gate five, and then a few of the other main hopes have drawn the second row. Talking on behalf of the owners of Centenario, we're extremely nervous about Hurricane Harley, Dan.
Well, and rightfully so. You've got to have a respect for Hurricane Harley. He's very good, but I think he's shown he needs that cover. He's much better when he gets the stop to run. Hurricane Harley, he can produce that big sprint. Centenario, really, of the two, he's more likely to make his own luck than Hurricane Harley. Needs just a little bit to go his way, but Centenario, what a good horse he's developing into. I saw him right at the very start, Andrew, and I really liked him. He's a lovely-looking horse. He's tough. He's always been very professional, and I really liked the way he applied himself last night. He's a real, real good horse, and I'm saying that as someone watching in and pretty jealous and envious of you, because he should be destined to have a really big future. And I liked his performance last night. It was just thorough, professional. He's a top-class horse. Emma's got a top-class stable, and it would surprise no one if she ended up getting the top four in that race. I think I'm Another Masterpiece is the only one that could sort of upset probably a top three or top four result for the stable. And I thought I'm Another Masterpiece was very good. The barrier draw was against, and it never really looked like winning last night, but I thought it was very good in defeat. But it's going to be a similar challenge next week with I'm Another Masterpiece drawing the second line. And Centenario, well, you've got a 6 days to continue your nerves, but that's what owning's all about, isn't
yeah.
it? Group one races. And sometimes the most exciting part of being an owner is the lead-up, because a race can flash by in a second. Win, lose or draw, you can be stunned in la-la land. Takes a while to sink in, but it's the build-up to a big race that's the most enjoyable part. So enjoy the week, mate. Mm. And look, I'll make a promise to you. If Centenario's in front on the line, I'll call it first for you.
Yeah, no, please do. Please do. Centenario at the moment is $1.60. Hurricane Harley at $2.80. And I'm Another Masterpiece at $5.50. They dominate that market off the draw there yesterday or last night. I've got to mention the Mayor's Free For All last night. Dan, I saw Karen McAvoy there. Oh, Karen McAvoy. Karen Manning there last night, hot off her weekly trip to Sweden as she'd got to, but that mare, Our Golden Goddess, looks really good type for this five-year-old.
Yeah, you get mares at certain times and they'll dominate, won't they? They just get to peak form and there'll be a period of time where they're just about unbeatable, and she is in that zone at the moment. I thought Carla's Pixel was excellent chasing her. They ran terrific time. It was a 153.1 mile rate, but they're top class horses. And Our Golden Goddess is in the zone at the moment, a 5-year-old mare. And look, she might even be a serious contender for the Inter Dominion later this year. The way that the series is structured, and you know, the horses like Lazarus, which has gone overseas, and we've lost Soho Tribeca, and there's a few big guns that are out of the way. There's a question mark on a number of Emma's horses that have come back from injury. It might be the year for the mare, and Our Golden Goddess, if the market had to go up now, I tell you what, she'd be right up at the top of the charts. She's in super form.
Yeah, she was good last night, and so too Carla's Pixel. Can't wait. Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. It's the finals of the Breeders' Crown. We've had the heats around New South Wales and Queensland and other places, and now we get to the big finals next Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. Dan, we'll look forward to hearing your calls next week. And I wanted to mention Lazarus. You mentioned on the way through there, just talking with Mark Purden last night at Bendigo, he was so rapt just to watch that performance last week that it looks likely now Woodbine's the next run there, August 25. So there'll be another build-up to Lazarus in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, wasn't it fantastic? Time-wise, it just fell in perfectly for, I think, any Australian or New Zealander that were watching Lazarus last week, late in the morning. It was a really good coverage on Sky, and it was so exciting watching the horse and seeing him at his best, because in a number of starts just before he was sold, we probably didn't quite see him at his best. So to see him go over there and perform like that, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
He was just fantastic. And when you look at a horse like Bit of a Legend, the ex-Kiwi who won feature races, Breeders' Crown as a young horse run third, Bit of a Legend. I was looking at the prize money rundown in that race. Bit of a Legend had won over $3 million. I think there were six horses in that race that won over $3 million. The total prize money earned by those nine horses was just short of $20 million.
Staggering.
That's just quite staggering. You can see why they paid good money for Lazarus to compete over there in those in those races. There's plenty of good money to be won, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. August 25, the next run for Lazarus at Woodbine. Hey, Dan, thank you for coming on. Good luck during the week, but we're looking forward to your calls on Saturday night. Have a good week, mate.
Thanks a lot, and good luck to you and all the owners of not just Centenario and Hard Hitter, but of everyone that's made the final. It's a pretty special time.
Good on you. Thanks, Dan. Dan Malecki joining us there, Simon. All the markets with Tab Fixed Odds are open. If you go to the Tab app or tab.com.au, go to the futures area, find Melton, and all the markets are there because all the draws were done last night. So it's an exciting week, and I know Greg Hayes will have a bit more on this on the Pace Tuesday morning at 10:30.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Enjoy your afternoon.
Good on you. Thanks, Simon.
It's coming up to 10 to 11.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
Dave Carlson joins us now to take a look at the world of greyhound racing. Dave, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon. Oh, it's been another great week. I know I say it every week, but that's how much I love the sport.
Well, we've seen a few of these meetings from Wentworth Park transferred due to some remedial work which has been carried out. Do you know when that'll be finished?
Look, it's continuing on, Simon, at Wentworth Park this Wednesday. and Saturday's meetings will be transferred to Bulleye and Richmond, respectively, while the following Wednesday, August the 29th, will see the Wentworth Park meeting run at Maitland and the Saturday, September the 1st meeting held at Bulleye. Now, the Bob Payne and the Chairman's Cup are to be rescheduled. They're yet to be rescheduled. So the work continuing, hopefully, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be able to get that sorted.
Righto, Dave. Shall we begin with the meeting from Dapto last Wednesday night?
Last Thursday night, yeah, it was an absolute ripper, Simon. We'll start in New South Wales, of course. There were five heats of the Group 3 Dapto Maiden, and it was another grey. That's the name of the horse. Another grey from box five for Warren Harper, which set the time standard, clocking a first split of 17 and 10 and an overall time of 29 and 96. Let's hear the call.
Racing, My Halo walked out, another grey flew out, straight to the lead, does it by four, geez, it shows some good speed, and darted away, My Halo going to second, then All About Eddie, followed by Chicchiano, See Me Explode, a gap in the race to ARB, followed up by Majola's Might, Fantastic Yankee at the tail, 20 off the leader, which is another grey who's sailing along in the lead, in second position, My Halo, and then All About Eddie, another grey clear, another grey goes all the way, another grey first, toss up second, All About Andy or My Halo, and then See Me Explode. They'll follow it in by...
So another grey, the replay there, winning a Dapto, which was the fifth heat of the Group 3 Maiden Series.
Yes, indeed, and Timmy Newbold's call said it all. It bolted in. It was just slingshotted out of the boxes. From a very nice litter, another grey, the daughter of Barsha Bale and the little grey, kicked off what was a really big 48 hours for the Harpers. They were terrific people. I remember I did a story on the Catching Pen several years back on Warren and Jill. Jill Harper trained the litter mate Willoughby to a 26-40 win in a fifth grade at Bulleye last night. And Jill's sister, Julie Fletcher, prepared yet another litter mate, Finale, to victory in 28-76 in another fifth grade at Bulleye last night over the 515 metres. So I'm going to try and get Jill or Warren on the line for Going Greyhounds tomorrow morning. Now, Simon, Jason Magri notched the winning treble at Bulleye last night with Zipping Falcon in the best of the night, 26-35. Narcissus from box one, who was really, in my opinion, close to the best bet of the night, 28-85 was the time. And Tristan Cannon, which came from last for a tremendous 26-42 win. And Jason Magri, like myself, is a Dragons fan, Simon. So obviously he went into the Bulleye meeting in a pretty good mood.
He would have been in a pretty good mood too, Dave, after they knocked off the Tigers at Leichhardt.
Yeah, actually, I'm doing this phone call from over at my mum's place in Des Moines, and she's a Balmain fan, and she's not talking to me too much this morning.
from Richmond on Friday night, Dave?
Yes, indeed, and congratulations are in order to Jody and Pete Lagoziani. They won the Phil Davis Memorial Final at Richmond with Zipping Kelly, and let's have a listen to the call.
Racing, Nangar Ace got away fairly. Secret of Ours began brilliantly. Walkie-talkie away in a hurry. That pair drive into the first quarter together. Moving to third, Nangar Ace. The inside double up D, then Ben Kenny Chick, Zipping Kelly. Followed up by Orinka Milo. Maximum drive at the tail of the field, top quarter. Secret of Ours led a length and a half. Double up D coming hard. They'll follow by Nangar Ace. They swing Secret of Ours under siege. Zipping Kelly out of the pack. Zipping Kelly descended, grabbed the lead. Zipping Kelly has won the money. Zipping Kelly first, blanket go for the Miners. Second, maybe double up D in front of Nangar Ace.
So Zipping Kelly running over the top of them there in the Phil Davis Memorial Final at Richmond, and paid good odds too, Dave, around a $13 mark.
Absolutely. I'm sure Jody and Pete were eating well over the rest of the weekend. Another great call from the Battler. And the winner is a daughter of my bro Fabio and Scarlet Girl. Box 8 was the winning box, a personal best of 30-75 for Zipping Kelly. Forbes trainer Ray Smith trained a winning double with Little Digger and Cyril Figures. And last night, Kerry Drynan at Richmond notched a double with Bimini and Fortunes of Time. So it was excellent racing. And just a reminder, Simon, too, the Richmond Riches puppy auction is coming up on November 25. Go to the club's website.
Right, so that's taking a look at what happened in New South Wales over the last couple of days. What about interstate, Dave?
Well, we'll move to Victoria now, Simon. And the final of the Group 2 Shepparton Cup was run and won last night. The fastest qualifier, Zoom Out, started favourite from box 8.
Racing now, beginning brilliantly, elevated out of box number 4. It'll lead it early. From kicking through now, Peter Gallo, Zoom Out off the track, and Mare Digby between those. There followed, then there was trouble at the first turn, elevated check. Going around them was Extra Gear. Next came Desposito, checked out of the race. My name's David, and hone in, turning for home, and the leader into the straight, it's Peter Gallo. It's clear from Zoom Out, and Peter Gallo, it's time to shine. It wins the Shep Cup by 4. Elevated charge, so might grab the second off Extra Gear and Zoom Out. But it's photos all round.
So Peter Gallo there for Gary Selkrig. Dave getting the cash in the Shepparton Cup final from Elevated and Extra Gear wound up in third.
Absolutely, Simon. Peter Gallo, 25-16 from box 6. Hearty congratulations to Gary Selkrig. The winner is by the Horsham Cup winner, Peter Rocket, out of Flossie, who was a sister to Stagger, Gary's 2012 Warrigal Cup winner. Now, Peter Gallo made it third time lucky in his breakthrough group win after being unplaced in the recent Bendigo Cup and last year's Healesville Cup. Congratulations are also in order for Anthony Azzopardi on winning the Ron Nesta Memorial at Shepparton last night with raw ability in 25-30 at only his second start since being injured in mid-May. Also last night at Cranbourne, Robbie Britton's slingshot hammer set the time standard in the heats of the Cranbourne Classic. Scored in 30-11 from box 8. The other winners were Vic Star for Joe Palmer in 30-16 and Panhandle Slim for Shona Thompson in 30-13. And today in Victoria, it's certainly worth mentioning, it's the creme de la creme of coursing with the 145th running of the Waterloo Cup at Lang Lang. The final's going to be streamed live on GRV's Facebook page at 4:30 p.m. Well, I tell you, I'm looking forward to being in Victoria, Simon, this coming Friday night at Sandown. What a night it's going to be with the Nationals.
You've got two huge meetings coming up on Friday, and, of course, the catching pen returning on Tuesday, Dave, so a big week coming up.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. On Friday night, James Vandermeer and myself are going to be trackside at Sandown. Jason Lincoln will be in the Sky Racing 1 studio for the Group 1 Nationals Finals. Now, it's going to be just a massive night, state versus state greyhound action. The contestants, they've trialled since the heats, with Queensland stayer Double G having an arm trial from the 7:15 boxes to the third split. Now, the times were 6:36, 16:22, and 30:92. On Thursday night between races, trials were held with Tasmanian sprinter Buckle Up Rose clocking 29:95 with a 5:15 first split. Western Australia's West on Augie clocked 29:73 with 5:13 to the first mark. New South Wales Skywave jumped from box 7, the same box that you'll jump from in Friday night's final look. She only ran 5:24 early, but she picked up and closed out in 29:82. I'll tell you what, the talk of the night was gun stayer Tornado Tears. In a 500-metre trial, Batman, the stayer, he clocked a sizzling 29:26. That was just amazing. He is a freak. And John Finn's New South Wales stayer, Poco Dorado, had a 715-metre trial in 41:79, splits of 6:27 and 16:01. So bring on the Nationals. And also on Friday night in Newcastle, Simon, the heats of the Group 2 Blacktop will be run at the Gardens. And the final will be on Friday week, August 31.
We'll look forward to it, Dave. Thanks very much. And I'm keen to tune in on Tuesday and see the return of the catching pen.
Yeah, looking forward to getting back on board with Jason and also with James. And we'll be taking a really good look at the Nationals and indeed the Blacktop. All of the news, and between now and the end of the year, we've got a stack of feature stories. We've already got five or six lined up, including some I did in Victoria recently with Robert Britton and Anthony Azzopardi. So bring on the catching pen and bring on Sky Racing 1 this afternoon at 1 o'clock. There's no rest for the wicked because, well, speaking of the wicked, Tony Brassel will be our form expert with yours truly on the Red Channel this Arvo.
Now, look forward to watching it. Good on you, Dave. Enjoy your afternoon.
Cheers, Simon. Thank you.
There he is, Dave Carlson. It's coming up to 11 o'clock. We have a race from Whanganui, New Zealand. It's a 3,000-metre hurdle. So we'll take this race. The late scratching is number 5, All in Rock. And the this race to be followed by Best Bets for Dubbo Harness with Michael Dummersney. The Victorian preview at Pakenham with Dean Lester due at around 10 past 11. And then we'll have a look at Devonport with Cole McNiff at around 20 past 11. Here's the third from Wanganui.